Pentecost Sunday, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 16, and verses 23 to 26. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I shall ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we shall come to him and make our home with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words, and my word is not my own. It is the word of the one who sent me. I have said these things to you while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you."
Jesus, with his apostles at the Last Supper, is replying to Philip's request to help them become equal to others who have found God, including weak ones who have become stronger than Judith. And Jesus says, "It is not sufficient just to love me. It is necessary to keep my commandments in order to have true love. Feelings are justified by deeds. And because of your love, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, so that he may remain with you forever, and against whom Satan and the world cannot act cruelly." A little later, Judas Thaddeus asks, "Why, Lord, are you showing yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replies, "It is because you love me and you keep my words. He who does that will be loved by my Father, and we shall come to him and make our home with him and in him. Whereas he who does not love me, does not keep my words, and acts according to the flesh and the world. Now remember that what I said to you is not the word of Jesus of Nazareth, but it is the word of the Father, because I am the word of the Father who sent me. I told you these things, speaking to you like this, because I want to prepare you myself for the complete possession of truth and wisdom. You cannot yet understand or remember, but when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to you in my name, comes to you, then you will be able to understand. He will teach you everything, and he will remind you of what I told you." Shortly before his ascension into heaven, Jesus reminds his apostles, "Do you remember my words at the Last Supper? I promised you the Holy Spirit. Well, he is about to come to baptize you, not with water as John did, preparing you for me, but with fire to prepare you to serve the Lord as he wants you to do. He will be here within a few days. And after his coming, your capabilities will increase immeasurably, and you will be able to understand the words of your king and do the deeds that he told you to do to spread his kingdom all over the earth." Jesus is speaking to Maria Valtorta about the Holy Spirit. He says, "Did I not say, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word? And my Father will love him, and we shall come to him and make our home with him." The soul in grace possesses love, and by possessing love it possesses God, that is, the Father who preserves it, the Son who teaches it, and the Spirit who illuminates it. It therefore possesses knowledge, science, wisdom, and light. Consider, therefore, what sublime conversations your soul could hold with you. Such conversations filled the silence of prisons, the silence of cells, the silence of hermitages, and the silence of the rooms of holy sick people. Such conversations were the consolation of prisoners awaiting martyrdom, of cloistered monks and nuns searching for the truth, of hermits longing for an advanced knowledge of God, and of sick people in bearing, nay, in loving their crosses. The Spirit of God says, I am the sanctifier, the one who, with his sevenfold gift, sanctifies you and bears you to God, making him known to you in his will on earth and in his glory in heaven. I am the one who, not absent with my counsel from the Creator's works, not absent from the decree of redemption, am not absent from you either to counsel you, and with the sweetness of love to make the wishes which the Father proposes to you a fait accompli. I am even more. I am the love inspiring you with what is suitable for giving you God's embrace and for bearing you to his breast along the path of holiness. Like a merciful wet nurse, I clutch your incapacity like those just born to life, and I educate and raise you, holding you in my arms. I give you warmth to bring you to assimilate the most sweet milk of the Word of God so that it will become life in you. I make myself a shield for you against the dangers of the world and of Satan, because love, with a capital L, is a saving power. I guide and support you, and as a master of loving patience, I instruct you. I make you, who are burdensome and sluggish, faint-hearted and weak, into heroes and athletes of God. I make you, who are spiritually poor, into kings of the Spirit, for I cover your spirits with my divine splendors, and I set them on a throne which is the greatest of all, since mine is the throne of eternal holiness. Do you want to know the truth? Oh, come to me. I alone can tell it to you. And I tell it to you in the way that my goodness knows to be appropriate for you, so as not to disturb your weakness. Turn to me. You will know and understand and be saved, for you will encounter the truth. Separate yourselves from error, which gives you no joy or peace. Bend your knee before the true God. Ask us, power, word, and wisdom, for light, so that you will not walk along false paths of death, but you will be able, you who are wandering, to come onto the way along which salvation was found by those who, through their humble, wise, and holy faith, pleased God, who made them his saints. Jesus says to Maria Valtorta, you are poor. Even now that I have covered you with my treasures, you are poor. For if I were to remove them from your intellect, you would have nothing else. You are poor in yourself, but you have me. I say to you, come, drink, buy, eat, rejoice in choice foods. And I also say to you, my word shall not remain in you without yielding fruit. When does a seed yield fruit? When it ceases to be a seed and becomes a plant. Isn't that so? Exactly. That's the way it is in you. The word speaks to you and then grows silent, and you remain as if empty. You think you are empty, mute, stupid. It seems that nothing remains of what was given to you. No, you are full. You are a forest as beautiful as the garden in the early days. All delightful plants, all fruits and aromas, flowers and colours are in you. They are the seeds of my words, which you think have been lost, because on your own you are unable to repeat them anymore. But they are never so present as when they have changed from seeds into a plant. You blossom and do not realize it. You bear fruit, my beautiful orchard, my vine, my field with rich ears of grain. Many come to you to satisfy their hunger, and you give me by giving what is flourishing in yourself, which I have given you. Jesus is in your heart, and those who have Jesus in their hearts also have the Holy Spirit. For where I am, the Spirit of love is. And it is sweet for me to stay where the Spirit is, the Spirit who proceeds from the Father and from me, and who is our essence. And finally, Azariah, Maria's guardian angel, says, "After the darkness comes the light, always. In the creation of the world, in the birth of the day after the night, in the succession of epochs and eras. Light seems to grow dark and death comes. Corruption spreads and overflows with its burdensome waves. Fear not, it's what's needed to rouse the drowsy and make them desirous of voices from on high. Struggle is useful to keep the athlete strong. The nausea of corruption prompts the desire for what is pure. Darkness spurs people to seek the light. Materialism, when pushed to fearful limits, generates a stimulus towards spirituality. Humanity, seized like a ball by Satan because it has fallen asleep in the mist of epochs without religious struggles and flung into the mire with scorn, humanity will rebound towards the heights. The era of the Spirit will come after this time of materialism. The era of the light will return after the current obscurity. The era of life will succeed the almost mortal agony. The era of God will arise to be a force in the final struggle. And the era of God will reign over that of Satan. On your feet, O Christians, in the fullness of your charity, for God, for the church, for your neighbour, for yourselves. God the Father sent you his Son and your brother through the Mother, so that he would be your Master and Redeemer, and you would be children of God. And since you are children, God has infused the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and through you he cries out, Abba, Father. Man, even the most perfect man, would never be able to pray with that loving violence which obtains miracles, all miracles. And so it is, then, that the Spirit of God prays in you and through you to obtain what is useful and necessary for you, and what, as holy, is suitable for sanctifying you. It is always the Spirit of God, enclosed in the hearts of the faithful, that asks and cries out with ineffable moans, Abba, Father. And he says it through you. What then are you afraid of, if you can call God Father? If the Spirit of God himself says it through you, thus confessing that you may call yourselves children of the Father, children of God. If the Spirit himself, whom God loves infinitely, for he is God, prays and calls out through you. Courage then, and do not be afraid of the things that pass.